This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This is number 3 in our series of Passover, a night to be much observed. And as I said last time, I have in my hand, one hand, a paper which says that the Passover should be on the 15th and was changed in Numbers 9, which we proved last time is not so. I have in my other hand a paper saying that the 15th should be moved back to the 14th. So neither one of them can be right. And they are not right. And the key is this. Nowhere in the entire Bible can you find where God combined the days. Nowhere. The 14th is the 14th. And the 15th is the 15th. And as we covered last time, very thoroughly, that the problem is reading and following along in the King James with the word evening, making no distinction between the two evenings and sunset. And that causes great problems. And there is a reason why this confusion lasts and continues, and it is because of the practices of the Jews today. Now, let's come to Numbers 9 again, and let's read that, because this is very important for us to understand and to realize what happened, because this is the place where someone says that God changed it from the 14th to the 15th. And he did no such thing. And he did not make it a temple or tabernacle or burnt altar offering sacrifice. Nowhere is it in the Bible that God commanded a temple sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Now, we will cover Deuteronomy 16 today, and we will see all the elements of Deuteronomy 16 very carefully. But here in Numbers 9, let's read it. And this is important to understand. Verse 1, we'll review. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at its appointed season. What is the appointed season? The 14th or the 15th? Let's read it. In the 14th day of this month, at even. Now, mine Bible has a little marginal reference which says between the evenings, which Schocken has it this way, which is really the best. Between the two evenings is correct. Now, let's look at Numbers 9 in the Schocken Bible, and this is how he has between the two evenings everywhere. Numbers 9, and let's pick it up here. Let's skip the verse. He says, On the 14th day after this new moon, between the setting times. Now, let me just say here, every answer that has been, question that has been brought up, every answer is found in the Passover book. And in both of these papers, though the persons may be very sincere and well-intentioned, they take excerpts without reading through. And what I said at the very beginning in this book, the Passover, the Christian Passover. So if you haven't read it recently, be sure and do so. And if you have people that have questions about it, you write in and ask for additional copies of the Passover book, and we'll send you how many ever you need. And let me just state this. Since this has been published, since the first edition was published in 1993, and then this one was published in, let me get the publication date here, I think it's 99. Yes, in 1999. Okay. 99. No one has disproved one thing in this book that has been written. There is years and years and years of research into this. We have quotes, historical quotes, that are mammoth. And as I said last time, we are not seeking a position. We are not going by a theory. We are not going by assumptions. We are going by provable biblical and historical facts. And that's what it's operating on. And each one of these papers is going on an assumption. Just like the Jews went on the assumption that the children of Israel left their houses right after midnight after the firstborn were killed. And that's how they left at night. So therefore, the Passover is on the 15th. Well, that is a sleight of hand, which we will see a little later, to explain why they keep a 15th Passover today and they don't keep a 14th Passover. And there's a very important reason why they don't keep a 14th Passover today. When God says the Passover is on the 14th, Bein Harbaim, between the two evenings, which we conclusively proved last week from Exodus 16, that Bein Harbaim follows Ba'erev. In other words, between the two evenings follows sunset. And that knocks in a cocked hat two things, as we explained, maybe three. You'll have to go back and listen to the tape. Number one, that Bein Harbaim is in the afternoon, as the Jews claim today. That has been absolutely proven as not so. And actually, here in Leviticus 23, and let me tell you how I came by the Shocking Bible. I was visiting Bob and Elaine Honeycutt, I think it was back in 1992, and I was writing on the Passover, the first Passover book. So we went into this huge, I think it's Books a Million or Borders bookstore, which are big down south. And Elaine and I were going to meet Bob for lunch. And we had some time, so she had to get something at the bookstore, so I went in with her. And I thought, well, I'm going to go down to the Bible section and see what they have. And so, bam, here's this book, the Shocking Bible. It is volume number one, the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, translated by Everett Fox, a new translation with introductions. So I thought, huh. So I opened it up to Exodus 12. What did he have for evening there between the setting times? So I checked quickly every place between the setting times. All right. Now, here's what he has. Here's what he has concerning the Passover. Verse 5, Leviticus 23. And on the first new moon, on the 14th day after the new moon, between the setting times is Passover to the Lord. Now, he's got a footnote here. Between the setting times, between the time that the sun is below the horizon, no longer visible, and total darkness, an idiomatic rendering would be at twilight. Many of them have it at twilight. And I said, bingo! He's got it right. So I bought, that's when I bought this. And I think it cost me $69.95 at the time, as it was just the first one out. So I said, hey, this is one of the most literal translations of the Hebrew. And so likewise in Numbers 9, he has the same thing. Between the setting times or between the two evenings. Now let's follow along and see what happened and just review this again. Verse 3, Numbers 9. And in the 14th day of the month at even, between the setting times or between the two evenings, you shall keep it in its appointed seasons according to all the rites of it and according to all the ceremonies thereof, you shall keep it. When did he give the rites and ceremonies of it? The year before, correct? Yes. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month between the two evenings or between the setting times in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. Now, the key is this, that in keeping the Passover, it starts with the preparation. Then what do you have to do? It means they kept it in the way that he gave the commands. It doesn't mean that they were actually eating the Passover exactly between the two evenings. So the literal translation by J.P. Green Sr. is more correct. They prepared the Passover. But this is referring to keeping it the way that they told. So you have to go back and you have to read in Exodus 12 how to do it. Now, verse 6, because between the time of the first Passover in Egypt and this time, God gave the laws of clean and unclean. God gave the laws of, as we found last time in Numbers 5 and Numbers 19, about how a person becomes unclean if they touch the dead body of a man or whatever, see. So that's why this came up. Now notice, verse 6. There were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, and actually, body is soul, by the dead soul. So what this is saying, the soul can die, right? Yes. That they could not keep the Passover on that day. So that they came after the fact. They came the next morning and said, hey, we weren't able to do this. Now, are we excluded? What do we do? So they came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said to him, we are defiled by the body of a dead man, wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in its appointed season among the children of Israel. Now, the person who wrote the paper that it's on the 15th because of this, and God changed it here, goes to Strong's Concordance. And let me tell you something. If you go to Strong's Concordance, just like I wrote here in the Passover book, you're going to collapse on your face because it does not go into the details of it. And the word for offering here in Numbers 9 is Korban, which is just a general offering. It does not mean that it has to be brought to the altar. So let's read on and see what happened here, because this is very important. We will see there was no change of it to bring it to the altar, period. At any time, period. The 14th was a domestic observance. Now let's notice. Verse 8. And Moses said to them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th month of the second, the 14th day of the second month, between the two evenings, between the setting times, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. Very important to understand. This tells us, number one, and that with the covenant with Israel, they had to be in the land of Israel to keep a 14th Passover. Now, verse 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbears to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in its appointed season. Now, what were the instructions that God gave in Exodus 12? You would kill it at home. You would put the blood on the side doorpost and the lintel. There was no command at any time to bring it to the temple to offer the Passover sacrifice. Now, there is something called Passover offering, which we are going to cover today in Deuteronomy 16. That is a different proposition than the Passover sacrifice. This use here of the word offering in Corban covers the Passover sacrifice because it refers back to the instructions given where? In Exodus 12. So you cannot make any definitive conclusion based upon Numbers 9 when you exclude Exodus 12, because it's referring back to Exodus 12. So you have to get your instructions there. Now, if they don't do it, it says here, and if a stranger shall sojourn among you, verse 14, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, found where? Exodus 12. And according to the manner thereof, Exodus 12, so shall he do. And you shall have one ordinance. Didn't change it to the altar, did he? Both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So the paper that says, Numbers 9 shows that Moses changed it to the 15th, cannot stand the test of truth. See, because it's not what you think, it's not what you believe, it's not what you feel, it's not what you misread or misinterpret. It's what is the truth that stands close, magnifying scrutiny. And that's what this second edition of the Passover book does. Now, I want to read to you from the Passover book, which helps answer the question from the Jews' own mouth. Why they don't keep a 14th Passover today. See, when we get to the New Testament Passover, we're going to find out one thing. What is the sacrifice of our Passover? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Where was he slain? In Jerusalem, outside the wall, right? Just outside the city is prophesied. Where was our sacrifice given? In Jerusalem. One sacrifice for all time, for all sin, correct? Now, that's why when he changed the Passover emblems on the Passover night, which we'll cover later, but I just want to project forward a little bit here for you so you understand what is happening. He's did the foot washing, and then broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And he took the wine and said, take, drink, this is my blood which shed for the remission of sins. Okay, this do in the remembrance of me. Now, since the sacrifice is Christ, and it was done in Jerusalem, the remembrance of it through the Passover, the Christian Passover, with the foot washing, the bread and wine, can be taken anywhere in the world on the 14th, at the time Jesus said, which coordinates with the time that was given in the Old Testament. Now, as I mentioned before, why does Satan cause so much confusion concerning the Passover, which then is degenerated into many different versions of that, which is degenerated into communion, the sacrifice of the Mass, and taking it any time they want to, even hourly. And some priests, you know, give three Masses in a day, and by time they're done drinking all the wine, because they don't give it to the people, they're sort of staggering out to their little room that they go to when they're done, you know. And you can tell how much wine that they drink and how close to becoming alcoholic some of them are, because all you have to do is look at their faces, and they've got this glowing, almost pulsating red face and broken veins. And that only comes from being an alcoholic, unless you have some other disease. Now, in page 202 of the Passover book, I'm going to read what it says here. Now, exiles could not keep the Passover. Why? Because they were to keep it in the land. If you are not in the land, being an Israelite or a Jew, you could not keep the 14th Passover. You could keep unleavened bread, which all the Jews in the diaspora have done. But how do they make it look like it's the Passover? Because they call the Feast of Unleavened Bread Passover. 8 days of Passover. They are not honest like the Karaites in admitting that they can't keep the 14th Passover, number one, because they are exiled in punishment for sin. And they do not even keep a 14th Passover, those Jews who are living in the land now, because they don't have a temple. And their tradition has changed it. Why was it changed? Because they rejected Jesus. That's why. And as I covered earlier, do not go to the Jew as a lawgiver, because there's one lawgiver who is God, and one of them became a human being of the house of David, of the tribe of Judah. And the lawgiver was, until Shiloh come, he came. And that's why so many brethren, because they get all infatuated with Jewish tradition and everything, they fall victims of Judaism. And please understand this. That's why in the Passover book, it's made very clear, Jesus never followed the rabbis. Jesus was never a rabbi in a sense, though they called him rabbi, referring to him as teacher, was never a rabbi in the sense of a rabbi of Judaism. And he was never schooled in any of their schools. That's all in here. So you see, people who come along and attack the Passover book and take out little excerpts here and little excerpts there and say, Fred Coulter is wrong. Look, it's not me that they're coming against, because this is not my theory. Though I did write it and put it together, this is not my theory. This is putting together all the truth so we can understand the whole meaning of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and yea, all the holy days of God, as we ought to. See? But please remember and understand, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost all apply to the church, and in rejecting Jesus, the Jews have it all messed up. Now, let me pick it up here on page 202. That is, this is talking about from page 201 about Daniel's heartfelt prayer of repentance in Daniel, the 9th chapter. So I comment here. What heartfelt prayer to God. What a powerful admission of the sins and transgressions of Judah and all Israel that they had committed against God. As a result of their wickedness, they had become a reproach to all nations around, exactly as Moses prophesied. Quote, Even all nations shall say, wherefore has the Lord done this unto this land, and what means the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they knew not, and that he had not allotted unto them. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, and in wrath and great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. Quite amazing, isn't it? Even the heathen peoples of the world understood that the captivity of Israel and Judah was decreed by God. They knew that he had executed his great curse because his people had broken his covenant with them. Their exile from the land of covenant was a sign to them and to all the world that God had rejected them. While in exile, they were not in covenant with God, because they weren't in the land. The exiles could not keep the Passover. As Jeremiah had prophesied, the Babylonian captivity lasted 70 years. During the 70-year captivity, the land was desolate, and Jerusalem and the temple were in ruins. Because the temple was destroyed, no sacrifices could be offered. Since the people were no longer in the land of Judea, they could not restore the temple and renew the covenant. That did not happen until the time of Ezra. Moreover, during the entire 70-year captivity, the Passover could not be kept. The Word of God makes it absolutely clear that when the people were not in the land of Israel, they could not keep the 14th day of the first month. And we just read that in Numbers 9. God's instruction to Moses show that the people were not allowed to keep the Passover when they were away from the land of Israel. This prohibition applied to all those who were carried out of the land to captivity and exile. The Jews in exile could not observe the Passover, as acknowledged by Karaite Jews and recorded by Samuel al-Maghribi in 1482. Quote, today, however, by reason of our many sins, we are scattered over the four corners of the earth. We are dispersed in the land of the Gentiles. We are soiled with the ritual uncleanness, and unable to reach the house of the Lord, and our status is equivalent to that of persons ritually unclean or traveling far away. This is why this ordinance of the Passover sacrifice no longer applies to us. That's why they use the shank bone on the 15th, which begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the reason for this is our fathers' exceeding disobedience to God and our own following in their sinful footsteps. So the Jews know. Now, I don't see in either one of these papers anyone going through and quoting this from the Passover book, or even recognizing that that was so. So to claim in Numbers 9 that this changes it from a domestic sacrifice to a temple sacrifice is completely untrue, untenable, and a twisting of the scriptures, and is a figment of the imagination of the person who wrote it. Let's come to Exodus 12, because I want to review this again. This is very important to follow along and understand. I know I've covered it, but even today, after covering it over and over and over and over and over again, people still don't get it. And the reason they don't get it is simply because they only read part of it. And you can't do that. You have to take the whole thing. All right? Now, I'm going to read from the King James Version, beginning in verse 5, and we'll go through certain selected verses, because That's what we need to cover. Now, in each paper, or actually we'll throw in there the one by Kuhn and Grabe, which I mentioned in the Passover book, or this one here that was a paper written as a result of what I mentioned that Daryl Hansen did, combining the 15th with the 14th. Instead of ending up with 8 days, you end up with seven. Now, the Jews start with the 15th, and they end up on the 22nd, so they still have 8 days. And they call it 8 days of Passover. See? Well, that's why you have to go into the Bible, and you must understand what it says. And that's why, before we even start, I've got the 14 rules of Bible study in here. And one of the rules is this: do not use Strong's Concordance to make final dogmatic decisions concerning doctrinal issues, because Strong's Concordance is not accurate enough in details, and it does not even contain, as I mentioned before, between the two evenings, Bein Ha'arba'im in there, because Bein Ha'arba'im is a derivative of Ba'erev. So everywhere Bein Ha'arba'im is in the Hebrew, Strong's Concordance lists it under Ba'erev, which is absolutely wrong. And I spend a whole chapter explaining that, see. So before anyone comes along with anything against the 14th Passover or the 15th night to be remembered, or a 15th Passover against a 14th Passover, and combine the night to be remembered and the Passover on the 15th, or combine the 15th with the 14th on the Passover and so forth, you've got to get all the facts straight. And we're going to also see another assumption. Now hold your place there in Exodus 12, because we'll come back. I want to come here to Leviticus 23, and I want to prove a point, because in the paper that was sent to me was this: the Passover is a holy day. Now let's come here, Leviticus 23, and let's read it, okay? Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Fine. 6 days shall work be done. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Fine. What did the Jehovah Witnesses say? Every day is holy. But what does God say? The seventh day is holy. They make themselves greater than God by saying that every day is holy. And the standard answer you ought to give to them is, when do you work? Because it says on a holy day you're not to work, right? Okay, so that shows the foolishness of that reasoning. Now, verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Now, let's understand something. When it is a specific holy convocation, it says so. When it is a feast, not being a holy convocation, it says so. Now let's read it here. In the 14th day, verse 5, of the first month, between the two evenings, is the Lord's Passover. That's on the 14th. We know, and we'll go back and review it, that it was killed right after the sunset, between sunset and dark, and the first Passover that they did in Egypt. They all killed it as soon as the sun went down below the horizon. And then we will see what happened here. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. Now, are all feasts holy convocations? Every day holy convocations. No, God specifies which days are holy convocations or holy days. He does it here, does it in Exodus 12, and so forth. 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Day 2 is not a holy day. Day 3 is not a holy day. Day 4 is not a holy day. And the only time you have another day during the Feast of Unleavened Bread as a holy day is when? When you have the weekly Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we do this year, right? Yes, because Passover is Tuesday night, night to be remembered is Wednesday night, and then Friday night begins the Sabbath. So we have 3 holy days, 3 holy convocations during the 7 days. The other days are not holy days. So you cannot say, because the Passover is called a feast unto the Lord, that it is a holy day, and that's the mistake that was made in this paper, claiming that. That's why the 15th is on the 14th. Now, let's come back to Exodus 12. I want to just review something here. Okay. Verse 5. Exodus 12. Your lamb shall be without blemish a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. Very important to understand. No calf. No bovine. Very important to understand when we come to Deuteronomy 16. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. That is at the beginning of it. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in between the 2 evenings. And we prove conclusively, Exodus 16, that that is after Ba'erev sunset. Now let's understand something here. No one has ever disproved Exodus 16 by God's use of Ba'erev for sunset and Bein Ha'ar Ba'im as between the 2 evenings. Now, I covered that thoroughly last time. Comment was made in the margin of a Bible here. It says between the 9th and 11th hour. That is a Jewish interpretation from Judaism. That is not from the scriptures. Okay. Now, if you don't have the series, Scripturalism versus Judaism, you write in for it. Because you see, true Christianity did not come out of Judaism. And the law of Moses has nothing to do with Judaism, though they call it the law of Moses. And most people are not familiar with that. And just like the Catholics have tradition over the Word of God, the Jews have tradition over the Word of God, and the Word of the rabbis is greater than the judgment of what is in the Bible. So in both cases, you're dealing with the doctrines of men. And so are we in dealing with these two things concerning the 15-14 or the 14-15. Now, and it says they were to where to put the blood and so forth. They were to roast it. Now, let's come down here to verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Now, night follows what? Night follows between the 2 evenings, between sunset and dark. So here we have night, and it means night, roasted with fire. Now I want you to mark it roasted, or roast with fire, because that's very important. Because Deuteronomy 16 says boil. Now notice, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And you shall eat bitter herbs, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat of it raw, nor boiled at all with water. Now, boiled is bashal, and it means boiled. Sometimes it can mean cooked, as if you cook a stew. But still, that's boiled, isn't it? It will not be boiled at all with water. And if you're going to have a stew, what do you have to put in it to make a stew? Water. So bashal should be translated boiled. But roast with fire, his head with his legs and the appurtenance thereof, and you shall not let any, you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, bokur, sunrise, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Which night? The 14th. And when was that? At midnight. And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day, the 14th, shall be a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. He does not say it is a holy day. It is a memorial feast. Now, as I said last time, when we get to the New Testament, see the sacrifice of Christ, everything that took place there, you will understand why the Passover is not a holy day, has never been a holy day, and you cannot make it a holy day because it is called a feast. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Now, in the Hebrew, right here, as I mentioned, it is full stop. It comes to a stop. Okay? Next, 7 days, having nothing to do with the Passover day. The Passover day has already been covered. Now, I went through and explained all about the 7 days of unleavened bread, explaining how it says down here in verse 18, in the first month on the 14th day of the month, at even, that ends it at sunset. So you begin it between the two evenings. You have the whole day as a memorial, a feast unto God, and it ends at sunset, and that is the end of the 14th. Now, the difference between the Passover is this, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is this. One, he passed over the children of Israel and spared their firstborn and smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Correct? Yes. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, let's read it, verse 16. And in the first day of the seven, not the first day being the Passover, there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. See, he defines a holy convocation, right? And if the Passover day were a holy convocation, he would say so, correct? So God didn't say so. So it's not a holy convocation. It is a memorial feast. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in the self same day, which day? The beginning of the 15th. Not the Passover day. And in this paper here showing, attempting to show, that the 15th and 14th should be combined, they say that self-same day refers to the Passover day. No, because on the Passover day, he passed over their houses. And you cannot have them leaving their houses before sunrise, as we'll see here in just a minute. See? So the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Passover day. Again, since this is in Egypt, there's no mention of temple or tabernacle because God did not give Moses the instructions concerning that until after they got to Mount Sinai. For in the selfsame day, the 15th, have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now, let's come down here to verse 21. Let's go through this again so we understand it. Now, in both cases, where those who theorize that the 15th goes on the 14th, or the 14th goes on the 15th, in both cases, they must have the children of Israel leaving their houses shortly after midnight. And as I explained, we went through that very thoroughly in the Passover book. So read the Passover book. See, all the answers are in the Passover book. But the problem is people get lazy because it's 500 pages. Well, the reasons it's 500 pages is because of all the confusion that has been concerning the Passover, Old Testament and New Testament. We didn't do it 500 pages just to have a thick book. And if we could have done it in 30 pages, we would have. But we didn't. I remember when I first started with the first edition, I said, brethren, because of all the controversy, and Doris, remember this, with all the controversy we have with the Passover, we need a good, thick, in-depth booklet, about 75 pages, right? Then we're going along, and everybody kept asking, because whenever I write, as you know, it takes longer than needed. Let's fast forward this and turn to the other side, please. And so then they asked me, they said, well, how's the booklet coming? I said, well, we're up past 60 pages right now. We'll have more than 75. Well, how many do you think? 125. Okay, so I get up close to 120, and they say, well, how far along are you now? I said, well, I'm up to about 120. Maybe it'll be 175. So then I get up close to 170, and they said, well, how many pages is it going to be? And I said, well, it's going to be over 200. And so when I got close to 200, they said, how many pages is it going to be? I said, I give up. I don't know. But when I'm done, I'm done. And the first edition ended up being 300 and some pages. Now let's continue on here in Exodus 12. And let's understand this very thoroughly. They could not have left their homes before sunrise, which would put you on the day portion of the 14th. Verse 22, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. And the Hebrew there is bokur, which means sunrise. Now we come down here to verse 28, come down to verse 28. Did any of them leave before sunrise? Now, please note this. Had any of them left their houses before sunrise, that would have been written in there, just like it was in Exodus 12, when some of them went out on the Sabbath to look for manna. Right? Notice what it says, verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now, another thing you can read in the Passover book, Moses did not leave his place after midnight to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's men came to Moses and said, you can leave. Now, however long after midnight that was, you can read it in the Passover book. You can read it there in Exodus 10 and 11, too, where it talks about that he would never see Pharaoh face to face again. So he sent his messengers down. Now then, where we're, we'll have a final part here in Exodus 12, where were the children of Israel located at the time they kept the Passover? In the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen was in the northeast part of the Delta, choicest part of Egypt. In the morning, they were to leave their houses. These houses were scattered throughout Goshen. Now, I've got a map. I show it here in the Passover book, and you need to read it. They had to get together and gather at Ramses for the Exodus to begin. It took all the day portion of the 14th to get there. Now, some got there rather quickly. Some took a little longer, but they got there. And those who got there first were able to rest up a little bit. Those who got there last were able to rest up when they got there, because when the first part of them started leaving, it took hours before the last part of them got out of there. So even though they started leaving at sundown, the going down of the sun, they did not get out of Ramses until night. Now, and I go in great detail explaining about the logistics of it, how they had to go, how long it would take, etc. So you see, as I said in the book, you get all these armchair scholars that lean back in their chairs and put their feet up on the desk and speculate about the Passover and how it is done, have no idea of the logistics of it, and the whole thing is logistics. So what did they do? They finished spoiling the children of Israel on their way to Ramses. Now, let's come here and read this very clearly. They had to come to Ramses. Verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. So they had to get from the land of Goshen, from their houses, leaving in the morning to get to Ramses. Now, someone's surely going to say, well, how could they possibly stay up two nights in a row? Well, could God give them the strength and energy to do it? Number one, yes. Did he not even say that your shoes and your clothes didn't wear out in 40 years? Yes. And besides, you think about all that the people went through and hearing all the cries and screams of the firstborn that were killed of the Egyptians. And can you imagine how much adrenaline was pumped into their system and how excited they were to go? And how can you imagine how excited they were loaded down with gold and silver and precious jewels and clothes and raiment? And they were walking out with the wages of 200 years of slavery, rejoicing. I mean, can you imagine how excited they were holding all of these gold jewels and silver jewels and all of these expensive things? They walked out with the wealth of Egypt. See? Who would be able to sleep? You tell me this. If you found a pure vein of gold somewhere, don't you think you'd be awake for a couple of days thinking about that? Sure you would. So, don't put it in the sense that, well, they were up two nights, and it's no way that they can stay up two nights in a row. Absolutely, because God gave them the power and strength to do it. Now, let's continue on. About 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. So, you just estimate 1,800,000. Now, if you have a family of 10, think of all the trouble you have to go through to get everybody coordinated and ready to go, and if you've got an SUV to get all the kids in the van to go at the same time. Think about Moses and Aaron's task of getting 1,800,000 people ready to go in an orderly manner. You don't accomplish this by loody-doo, oh, 1 minute after midnight, all the firstborn are dead, oh, let's go, let's go to Ramses, oh, ho, 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 the Exodus begins on the night of the 14th. Nonsense. The night to be remembered begins on the 14th. Nonsense. And by all means, have your cell phones charged up and your iPods ready to go. Eh? Put a little modern humor in there, you know. See? Now, verse 38, and a mixed multitude went up also with him. These are the Israelites who married Egyptians. So you have half Israelite and half Egyptian. And flocks and herds and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they could not tarry, neither had they prepared victuals for themselves. Now, let's understand something. They were thrust out. People say, that means they left immediately. No. The most immediately they could leave was when they got out of their houses in the morning, correct? And came to Ramses, correct? Yes. Now, the day that they left was not the 14th, because we read that in Numbers 33 already twice. Now, notice very clearly, and here's a mistake that is done in this paper, putting the 15th on the 14th. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass. Now, what they're claiming is this, is that selfsame day refers to the Passover day. It does not. It refers to a time 430 years before, not the Passover day. And that day fully explained here in the Passover book. Now, if it sounds like a broken record, read the Passover book. It is a broken record because too many people have it and they don't read it. You know, and the thing is this. Now, I'm not angry at you for not reading it, but I am really concerned that people would come up with ideas and things from other people's papers, and they didn't take the time and the effort to go through the Passover book and examine with what is in here of what that paper is talking about. Okay? Now, you can all be thankful that I haven't had to go through this for at least 6 years. So the basic mistake has been made. You have to prove all things, as the Bible says, so you've got to prove it. See? You've got to prove it. Verse 42. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Can't get any clearer. Now then, it gives again the ordinance of the Passover. Let's look and see the pattern that we have here in Exodus 12 to understand it. All right? We have Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll see that. We have verse 1 down through verse 14, Passover. Verse 15 down through verse 20, we have unleavened bread, don't we? Does unleavened bread follow Passover? Yes, indeed. What day is the day of unleavened bread numbered as in Leviticus 23 and Numbers 33? The 15th day of the first month. And they came forth when? By night. So it could not have been the 14th period. All right. Then we go on here, verse 21, down through verse 32, Passover. Verse 33, down through verse 35, day portion of the Passover, assembling at Ramses. Verse 36, rather. Verse 37, down through verse 42, unleavened bread. So what do we have? Passover, unleavened bread. Passover, unleavened bread. Passover, unleavened bread. And it's the pattern because, you see, you can't have the Feast of Unleavened Bread without the Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread follows the Passover. Now then, verse 43 through verse 50 is a summary of additional instructions concerning the Passover. Now, verse 51 also presents a problem. Let's read verse 51. And it came to pass the selfsame day. And they read that and they say, oh, this has got to refer to the Passover. No, it does not refer to the Passover. It came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Which day did they leave? Numbers 33:3, the 15th, correct? Yes. Now, let me read from the Shachan, verse 51, because where it is broken, and I think it's important that knowing the technical things, Everett Fox, who is the foremost expert in Hebrew today, breaks the verses between 50 and 51 and puts 51 to show that it should be beginning chapter 13. Because the breakdown of the verses and chapters were arbitrary. So here's one place that they made a little mistake, which Everett Fox corrects. He says, verse 51, and it was on that same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their forces, comma. Not period. So this is part of the problem with the King James. The full stop comes at verse 50. Now another translation has, and on the day when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, comma. See? Comment was made, and chapters usually begin with, and it came to pass. That's correct. All right. Now, we're going to get into some new things here today, which will help us understand about Deuteronomy 16 when we get to it. But this becomes a very important thing. And again, what we are doing, we are systematically going through and proving and testing and understanding the Word of God as it is. You cannot take the King James Version in isolation and establish doctrine on it because there are enough inaccuracies in it, just like in the New Testament. So let's read it. Verse 51 again. And it came to pass, and another one has it, on the very day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies, comma. Now, when did he bring them out? On the Passover day? The 14th? Or on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 15th? And that begins when? At Ba'erev, ending the 14th, which begins the 15th. Correct? Yes. And the Lord, chapter 13 and verse 1 now, remember there's a comma after verse 51, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Now we're going to see that is important. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand the Lord has brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread eaten. Important, they are to remember the day they left. They are to keep the feast of the Passover as a memorial feast. Two different things. Two different occurrences, though followed one day after the other. This day you came out in the month of Abib. Then he shows no leaven and so forth all the way down through here. Now let's come to verse 11. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, that you shall set apart unto the Lord all that opens the matrix, and every firstling that comes of the beast which you have, all the males shall be the Lord's. This is different than the Passover, right? This is all the firstborn, correct? Now notice, every firstling of an ass shall you redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, you shall break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among your children you shall redeem. And they redeemed it with an offering of an animal plus an offering of money, as we will see. Now let's see what the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread means as they explain it to their children, and then especially in relationship to the firstborn that is talked about the first part of chapter 13 and then verses 12 and 13 here. Verse 14 now. And it shall be when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by the strength of hand of the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew or killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, but all my firstborn, the firstborn of my children, I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon your hand, and for a frontlet between your eyes, for by the strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Now then, God knew that he was not going to take them on the easy way to the promised land. Now there was an easy way to go to the promised land, and I think we get a good lesson out of this in our lives too. God doesn't take us the easy way. And the reason is that eternal life is so profound that, and so good, that God knows living in this world it is going to be difficult. So here we have a parallel with the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, which goes right up along the coast, from Egypt right up along the coast of the Mediterranean to what is called Gaza today. Although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And so that's how God took them. Well, it's the same way with us. And I think it's interesting that William Tyndale said that the reason that we have trials and difficulties is so that God will know what's in our heart. And that if we always had everything just perfect and smooth and nothing ever went wrong, we would be most arrogant and conceited and unloving of any people that could be. We would have no understanding or compassion. So this is why God took them that way, because there were going to be difficulties that they would encounter. Yet God was still with them. And as we will see when we come to the meaning of the last day of the feast, how that God will fight our battles for us, and we need to believe God and go forward. Now, go back to chapter 12 here for just a minute. We will see there are two services. Number one, the Passover ordinance and the service of the Passover. Verse 24, chapter 12. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and your sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you become in the land which the Lord will give you according to all that he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our children. And all the people bowed the head in worship. Now you see the difference between the two of them? One is the passing over on a Passover day on the 14th. The other is the deliverance when they came out by the hand of the Lord. And now we have added into it, for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the firstborn of man and beast. Now, come here to Numbers, the third chapter. Let's look about the firstborn, because as we are going to see, all those offerings back in Deuteronomy 16 are these very offerings of the firstborn, which were to be offered on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I think you're going to find this very interesting. And those offerings, as we will see, were peace offerings. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11, Numbers 3. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that opens the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. He set them aside and protected them, right? Yes. Then, on the first day of unleavened bread, they are to offer the offerings commemorating that redemption. And the fact that everything that opens the matrix or the womb of man and beast belongs to God. Now, let's look at it here. Come over to verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn of males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward. Take the number of their names, and you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. And you shall take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered as the Lord had commanded, and all the firstborn among the children of Israel. And all the firstborn males by the number of names from 1 month old and upward of those that were numbered were 22,216. So the long and the short of it is that there was a difference of 213 between the firstborn in all of Israel and the whole tribe of Levites. So here's what God said. So here is part of where they are redeemed, not only with an offering, but with money. Verse 44. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, you shall even take 5 shekels apiece by poll. After the shekel of the sanctuary shall you take them, the shekel is 20 gerah, and you shall give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money from them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites of the firstborn of the children of Israel, took he the money, 1,300, 65 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and his sons according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, that's something when we understand there is a commemoration of the firstborn on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now let's look at this again in Numbers 8. Numbers 8. Numbers 8 and verse 14. Numbers 8 and verse 14. Thus shall you separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and you shall cleanse them, and offer them for an offering, for they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as opens every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, I have taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. See, now you do not commemorate the redeeming of the firstborn on the Passover day by the Passover sacrifice. That is when they were protected and spared. God redeemed them on that day, but the commemoration of it is on the 15th. On the 15th. Now, let's look at some other scriptures here concerning this, and let's see what we have here. All right, now let's come back to Exodus 22, and let's see that the firstborn are connected with the redemption of the firstborn, the sacrifice of the redemption of the firstborn is connected with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's pick it up here, Exodus 22, Exodus 22, and verse 29. Okay. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe fruits, and of your liquors, the firstborn of your sons shall you give unto me. Likewise shall you do with the oxen and with the sheep. 7 days shall it be under the dam, and on the 8th day you shall give it to me. Now, let's look at Exodus 34. Now, this shows the minimum age when it could be offered. The minimum age, 8 days. Isn't it interesting? When does circumcision take place? 8 days. Okay, Exodus 34. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. Exodus 34 and verse 18. The Feast of Unleavened Bread shall you keep. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the time of the month Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out from Egypt. All that opens the matrix is mine. See, this is the dedication beginning with the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we're going to see what sort of offering that they brought. Now, there were several offerings that they brought. They literally brought the firstborn of the clean beast, which belonged to God. Those were offered in sacrifice. And then we are going to see that the firstborn also brought a special offering for themselves in thanksgiving to God, which we will see are peace offerings. Now, we'll get into a little bit of Deuteronomy 16 in just a minute, and we'll see that and then we'll end there. Verse 19, all that opens a matrix is mine, and every firstling among your cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. The firstlings of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. When did they redeem them? On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And none shall appear before me empty. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15, because this precedes Deuteronomy 16. Now let's pick it up here, verse 19. All the firstlings males that come of the herd and of the flock. I want you to note that. Herd and flock. Shall you sanctify unto the Lord your God? You shall do no work with the firstlings of the bullock, nor shear the firstling of the sheep. You shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place where he shall choose you and your household. Now you see, this is different than the Passover offering, is it not? Than the Passover sacrifice. They could kill it and eat it at their homes. That was the command, wasn't it? So what this is talking about is the peace offerings representing the redemption of the firstborn, and that they would bring the firstborn of the clean animals and they would sacrifice them. We'll see how those were divided out next time. Now then, verse 21, if there be any blemish therein, or if it be lame or blind, or any ill blemish, you shall not sacrifice it unto the Lord your God. You shall eat it within your gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike. That means unclean by reason of touching a dead body, or by an issue from a man, or by uncleanness of sickness, or by a menstrual period of a woman. They would be unclean. So they could all eat it. Shall eat it alike as the roebuck and the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood thereof. You shall pour it out upon the ground as water. Now, we come to the difficult to understand Deuteronomy 16. So we will start here, and we won't go through it all because we need time to absorb this, right? Okay. Observe the month of Abib. Now that's the whole month. And keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. When were they to keep the Passover? On the 14th. What animal were they to use? It would be from the flock, either a goat or a lamb, correct? Had to be less than a year old, right? Yes. Okay. Full stop. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. When was that? The 15th. So what do we have right here in verse 1? The 14th and the 15th. Do we not? Yes. Now here's where the difficulty comes. Beginning in verse 2. Now, what we want to do is read down through here all the verses, and then we will come back and analyze it. And we will note the problems that are involved in it the next time we come back. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God. Now, the JPSA says Passover offering. Let's see what Shochan says. Okay, Shochan says, Passover offering too. This is not the Passover lamb of the 14th. These are offerings that they started offering late on the 14th in preparation for commemoration of redeeming the firstborn. As we will see, let me continue here in the Shochan version. Okay. Verse 2. You are to slaughter the Passover offering. Now, notice what he says up here. He makes a difference here of the Passover in verse 1. He says, you are to observe the Passover unto the Lord your God. You are to slaughter the Passover offering to the Lord your God from the flock and from the herd. That cannot be the 14th Passover. Cannot be. Because it was to be of the flock only. What did we just read in Deuteronomy 15 and verse 19? All the firstling males that come of your herd and of your flock. So we have it over here. The flock and the herd. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the peace offerings. And the peace offerings, as we will see, they were not to leave anything until morning. And that's where the instructions between the Passover peace offering that was offered late on the day on the Passover day coming into the 15th. That's where the confusion comes from. Okay, let's go ahead and I'll just read one more verse here, and then we will begin in Deuteronomy 16 next time, and we'll go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Now come down here to verse 7. Verse 7 is a blatant mistranslation. You shall roast, the King James says. This is not roast. This is, you shall boil. And that's what they were to do with the peace offerings. You shall boil and eat in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. And you shall turn in the morning and go unto your tents. They stayed up and observed the night to be much observed all night. And that's what it's talking about. Yeah. Now, Shochan has it exactly correct. Verse 7. You are to boil it, and you are to eat it in the place that the Lord your God chooses. Then you are to face about at daybreak and go back to your tents. This is not the Passover night. This is the first night of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, we'll pick it up there next time. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney 2001, Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa, United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ, Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willore, WILRO Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.